Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we gather this morning, we are teetering on the edge of a new year, 2024. In the fall of this coming year, a momentous event will take place. I am referring, of course, to the 30th anniversary of the birth of my daughter, Isabel. I seem to think that there might be something else happening in the fall of 2024, but it escapes me, and I'm sure whatever it is pales in comparison. Since Isabel was my first child, that wonderful and rather blustery day in late October 1994 was not only the day that she was born, it was also the day that I became a father. On that day, as I held that little warm bundle in my arms, a warm bundle that miraculously breathed in and breathed out, and breathed in and breathed out, and breathed in and breathed out. And on that day, I say, I became aware of a great movement in my soul. Up until October 25th, 1994, my 28 years on earth had been guided by the simple assumption that I had to look out for myself. My well-being, my success, my pleasure, these were the things that naturally commanded my attention and focused all my efforts. For me, becoming a father meant that this assumption that had guided my life gave way. It shifted effortlessly. I was no longer the most important thing in my life. This little bundle in my arms that breathed in and breathed out, this, without any doubt, was now the most important thing that had ever happened in the history of the world. And it was my job to nurture her. And this, my dearest of friends, this is what I want as my text this morning, this great shifting of the soul, which is at the very core of human experience. Poetry may be the human science that best captures the shifting of the soul, but I want to make a case for religion too. Because if religion necessarily involves transformation, and I believe it does, then that little bundle of breath moment was, for me, the most religious moment of my life. And if religion necessarily involves a recognition of the action of the extraordinary power of love, and I believe it does, then that little bundle of breath moment was certainly the most religious moment of my life. Religion, when it is at its best, then, is the field of inquiry that seeks to understand and harness the transformative power of love. The transformative power of love. I like this line of thinking because it leads me to the determination that I have always hoped for and often found the conclusion that far from being a scepter-wielding king in some distant celestial plane, God is to be found among us as the transformative power of love. The story that comes from Luke that Owen just read for us is one of my favorites in the Gospels. In it, we learn about an old man, Simeon by name. The text describes Simeon in this way. He was religious and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. I love that. When we read that Simeon was looking forward to the consolation of Israel, we feel that the old man's life was intimately joined with the destiny of his people, Israel. This sense is deepened when, in the next breath, we learn that the Holy Spirit rested on him. It becomes clear that this relationship between Simeon and his people was something that was given to him by God. And then the story gets a little bit strange. It's no mystery what the Holy Spirit told Simeon about the consolation of Israel, because the text lets us know right away. It has been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. The Holy Spirit told Simeon that Israel would be consoled by the appearance of the Messiah. And he, Simeon, must stick around to welcome him. Once Simeon accomplished this welcoming, his reward, of all things, would be death. Now, doesn't that sound weird? It sounds like Simeon has done something wrong. But on the contrary, Simeon was not being punished with death. He was being rewarded with death. After fulfilling his destiny, God would allow Simeon to die. So when the child Jesus actually did show up in the temple, Simeon was there to greet him. The Holy Spirit made sure of that. And upon seeing the child, naturally, Simeon, the old man, took the infant in his arms, that warm bundle that miraculously breathed in and breathed out. Breathed in and breathed out. Breathed in and breathed out. And then he said, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." So as we sit within this sweet mental picture, this image of an old man holding a child in his arms, we can appreciate how this story brings together many different important religious themes in one single moment. The infant, so recently born, lies in the arms of the old man, so soon to die. Transformation is present for the infant, who, recently born, has moved from God to the world. The old man, his duty fulfilled, anticipates with joy a death that will transform him from the world back to God. The fulfillment of one old man's destiny is also the fulfillment of generations of Jewish prophecy. And it is all concentrated in a deeply intimate, personal act. An old man holding a child in his arms. That personal transformation has symbolic significance that reaches out to the whole people of Israel. Here in this moment is the consolation of Israel. Now, the whole emphasis of the gospel story revolves around Jesus. And this is as it should be. Each of the gospel tells the incredible story about an incredible man whom we, as Christians, make the audacious claim of divinity. If a piece of writing tells the story of God, it is only natural that the focus of the story should be God. But must we, in our focus on Jesus, lose sight of the other fascinating players who appear, if only momentarily, in the drama? This story, naturally, is told as one of the few infant narratives that we have about Christ, a story that establishes in the temple itself the unique significance of Jesus, evident even while he is a mere babe in arms. Allow me to point out, though, that this story is not only one of the first stories in the life of Christ, it is also one of the last stories in the life of Simeon. And what does this story tell us about Simeon? Can the little that we know about Simeon teach us something about that notion that we came up with earlier this morning? Do you remember it? The idea that God is not some muscular cloud monarch, but rather can be found among us as the transformative power of love. I don't think it's a coincidence that when Simeon welcomes the beautiful child into his arms, he also welcomes his own death. The amazing thing about this is that religion, unlike almost any other field of human inquiry, allows death to be as much of an act of love as the act of holding a child in your arms. Indeed, in this story, the result of a loving act is another loving act. The welcoming of a child is the welcoming of death. Death is not something to be feared. It is an honor bestowed. Inasmuch as it makes sense for a child to be held, it also makes sense for an old man to die. Inasmuch as it makes sense for a baby to breathe in and breathe out, and breathe in and breathe out, it is also natural for the breathing of an old man to cease. This conclusion is hard for us to make, because we have made a practice in modern life of separating death from life. Religion allows death to be part of the transformative power of love. In his moment, Simeon made the great shift, the same great shift that I made when I became a father. But instead of the most important thing being the nurturing of a child, his most important thing was the faithful certainty that his death would be a return to God from whence he came. Amen.